Well, we don't need no stinking cold temperature records right now. Just a little editorial comment regarding what our Mr. Weather Guy just said about the cold temperatures. All right. Unavoidable, important story to talk about. The terrible, terrible story of the 66-year-old woman allegedly driving under the influence of alcohol and killing a little brother and a little sister, injuring their mother and other brother. It is a horrific story. What makes it worse, completely unavoidable, completely unnecessary. Didn't have to happen. Somebody made a decision to drink and made a decision to get in their car and drive. I hope and pray by this story getting the attention it is from my hometown of Monroe, Michigan, it will stop at least one, if not 100 people, from getting behind the wheel after they've been drinking. Totally avoidable situation. Front page of the Detroit News today, and you can only imagine the emotion behind this, a quote, "She took those babies from us." Emotions high as ex-boat club leader charged with murder in the kids' crash deaths. Sidebar story, siblings recalled as funny and flawless. This is just one of those horrific, horrific stories. We call upon Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law, to talk about the 66-year-old woman arraigned on 8 counts yesterday after allegedly driving drunk, crashing her car into a birthday party in Monroe County, killing those two children, injuring over a half dozen other people at a boat club she apparently used to be the commodore of. At least that's as I understand it. Todd Flood, welcome. I'm sorry it's about this kind of story we have to talk about, but the fact is, if talking about this brings it to the attention of other people who have gotten away with drinking and driving, maybe this will get their attention and keep them from doing it. I can hope, can I?
Yes, yes. You know, it's you hit the nail on the head. It's one of those things where we have so many different ways to get transportation, be it Uber, Lyft, whatever the case may be. The fact of the matter is this was totally something that could have been avoided with just common sense. You know, we need to know all the facts. I don't know all the facts of this case, but from the arraignment, it sounded to me as though the prosecutor said the road test, the PBT that was given, had a pretty high level of intoxication, which is why they didn't charge OWI causing death, which is a 15-year offense. They charged murder, too, which is a life offense. Yeah, so guidelines are very high on that count.
Let me just get something clear that I think I already know the answer to this, but I'm just wanting to be clear because you just kind of spelled it out. Her attorney said that she had a seizure. I suppose that would be, you know, one line of defense. But the First District Court there in Monroe wouldn't charge her with 2 counts of second-degree murder, 2 counts of operating under the influence of alcohol causing death, and 4 counts of operating under the influence of alcohol causing serious injury, unless they already had the tests back that showed she was indeed under the influence of alcohol, right?
So the standard for charging, the prosecuting attorney needs probable cause that a crime was committed and probable cause that that person committed it. How do you establish the probable cause? You had to establish that she was intoxicated above a certain limit. So in Michigan, we have a super drunk, which is 0.17. Normally, anything below is, you know, you get the manslaughter type charge, the OWI causing death, which is the 15-year. So it is safe to presume that a prosecutor is not going to fall under the political pressure, the media pressure. They're going to do what's right. And if it hits that high number, and number was, you know, this 0.17 or above, they had enough probable cause to charge that.
So having paralysis, having the epileptic type seizures she's been having, I guess, allegedly since November, none of that matters. It's all trumped by the fact they found the alcohol level too high in her blood.
That is correct. That's what's going to be the coup de grace there. Now, let's say she was alleged that she's taking medication. Doctor didn't say, you know, you couldn't drive or you couldn't drink with this medication. That's, you know, poppycock, because on every medication, I assure you, it's going to say a warning: do not drink and drive with this medication, period.
Right.
So
right.
Notice is given, right? You know, for all the listeners out there that are asking, well, why isn't this the OWI causing death? We have a famous case in the state of Michigan of People v. Gecky, and where you knowingly you stopped these kids stopped and got more alcohol after they were already drunk. They went to a 7-Eleven or to a party store, got more alcohol, drank more, and drove, and ended up killing, you know, several people. That was the standard. That's why it got up to. It's this gross negligence, this willful, wanton disregard. That's the buzz term, that willful disregard, knowing that you driving this heavy killing machine, it's a disregard when you're doing it and you're intoxicated to everybody out on the street. The fact if she didn't have any alcohol, or she did have a lower limit in her system, and that she had this unforeseen seizure, that is a defense. But it doesn't sound like it to me in this particular case, because I know the Monroe County prosecutor, I know his office, and they pretty much, I it's always been my experience in a way, that they hit it down the middle. So they're not going to charge this unless they had enough probable cause to make that happen.
I didn't even hear this part, which is somehow eerily even worse. She was actually invited to that birthday party and supposedly was on her way there to meet her husband at the party. I had not heard that before.
Yeah, that came out as well by the defense attorney. And I know the defense attorney, he's a very good attorney, but you know, the fact of the matter is, when you look at the car, and I just happened to catch a snippet of it, it is like there's no braking, nothing. It's just a straight beeline into that, into the facility.
Mike Parsons, Mike Parsons pointed that out to us from watching all the different camera views. Mike, that's what you said. You saw no braking whatsoever.
Right, which made me think maybe she wasn't conscious at the time.
That she could have actually been passed out.
Right. So, and, you know, there is all sorts of liability here too, you know, because where was she drinking? Did they overserve? Did they know she was intoxicated when she came in? You know, what's her past and background? That's all going to come into play as well.
I think the mother's already sued the woman and sued the tavern or wherever they think she had been drinking. I believe I heard that.
Yes, John Marco gave notice. They have to under the dram shop law. You have to give notice within a very short period of time to put everybody on notice that you're suing that you're intending to sue on that claim for the dram shop. And that should, you know, here you go, right? There's so many different layers to this. You serve people at your home and you know they're intoxicated and you give them the keys, you let them drive, you know, the liability. It's just common sense stuff. It's common sense to make sure you have an alternate way of getting home or transportation. It's that simple.
Yeah. A lot of lessons learned, but late, with two little kids dead.
Tragic.
It is so tragic. Todd Flood, thanks for your expertise. We really appreciate it always.
Always appreciate you, Paul W., and thanks to Mike.
Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law. All-round good guy. Sorry we had to talk about this, but we had to. It is a horrible story, but a lesson or several lessons to be learned by many, many people. We continue in focus on WJR.